Hello guys, what's up? This is Life Illustrated, episode number 8. My name is Damaris. Life Illustrated is an inspirational podcast series where I use down-to-earth stories and relatable illustrations to teach life's greatest lessons. How's your week been? You know, this time last week, I was very nervous about the game against Algeria. Yeah, they kicked us out, but it doesn't, you know, at least we went far, we tried. So shout out to the Super Eagles, okay, and a begrudging congratulations to Algeria. Enjoy your win while you can. Nigeria remains in my mind, Nigeria means the giants of Africa. No matter what happens, you guys are my stars. You're my real stars. And shout out to Mikel Obi for retiring at 32. Wow. Congratulations to you. In this life, where people are still working when they are 90 years old, get to retire from Nigerian national team at 32, which is awesome. This episode is going to be very interesting. I assure you of that. So let's dig in right away. Okay, today's topic is, what's the answer? That's a phrase that my math teacher in secondary school back then said a lot of times. What's the answer? Just write something on the board. I said, yeah, what's the answer? I remembered an experience I had. That's what actually inspired this particular podcast. An experience I had in junior secondary. Yes. I don't know what... it was a math class. I don't know what the... I can't remember what the topic was. Maybe like all these quadratic equations or swords, all those kind of things. So for everybody that you know, first of all, shout out to everybody that uses New General or used New General Mathematics textbook. But you know how it is now, that the questions are, they'll give you examples, of course, and there'll now be exercises under it, then the answers to the questions are at the back of the textbook. So, and as they usually do, the examples are so easy. But if you try the exercises, especially the ones towards the end, number 20, you'll be wondering, is it the same topic we are all treating? Anyway, there was a time it was very difficult. The whole class was struggling to understand what was being taught. So I think she now gave us a class work to do, and it was very difficult. We were just trying to look for different shortcuts and different methods of running it. So me, I was there. I don't know what kind of magic happened. I was just trying anything. I was just pressing anything, just dividing anything. And all of a sudden, the particular question that they gave us, I actually got it right. Ha! Everybody was like, hey, Damaris, how did you get it? How did you get the answer? Like, ha, this guy really understands this thing and all that. Oh yeah, people now gather me now. Oh yeah, please come and explain. Please come and explain to us, you know, how you came about this answer, because it was like, yeah, a hero. Everybody at the master said, yes, ask her, get learn from her. Long story short, I took them around in circles because I had no idea how I got the answer. You know, it was more like trial and error. And eventually I arrived there, and then so the bottom line is they all left more confused than they actually came to be. So I was unable to reproduce that answer. I was unable to show them how I got it. It was just more or less by chance, you know. But on face value, if maybe we wrote an exam, right, and maybe that question was worth a lot of marks, and then you saw my answer, let's say it was an objective and I got it right, you say, ah, this girl, she's so bright, she's so brilliant, she understands this thing. But you really just guesswork. That even brings me to objective self. Objective questions, most of them, especially calculations or something like that. You just guessing, you know, just say, which one looks correct, which one seems correct. It's not that I really know it. If they ask you to write it down or to explain how you got the answer, it's another different story. So that experience gave rise to this podcast, and I would be trying to link the issues of life with what I just talked about. Now, how reproducible is your success? Can you get the same results over and over and over again. Can you successfully teach someone the path to greatness that you have also gone through? Or is it more like is it more subject to chance, or something that just happened to come across your way, or luck, or things like that? So that's basically what I want to talk about. Do you really know the formula? Do you really know the formula to consistently producing wealth? Do you really know the formula to maintaining friendships? Do you really know the formula to having a stable mind, being emotionally stable? Do you really know the formula to keeping a happy home? All of these things, do you really know? Do you really have? Can you really reproduce it? Or is something that just we try this, and then it just happens to come together like concussion rice that just happens to be sweet, but you cannot say it again? That's why even that brings me to this observation. Nigerian, it was when I started watching let's say cookery shows and all these maybe all these pop-up cookery guides and recipes on Instagram, that 30 seconds they just show you what they mix, and I had an observation that these people are so precise with their measurements. Like if they say one cup of flour, it must be one cup leveled like that. If it's 325 degrees, you preheat the oven, and this is, it must be like that for 10 minutes. That's why the exact taste they can get it again, the exact texture, they are so exact abroad about how they measure their food and how they, and the quantity of ingredients and so many things, so they can reproduce their dishes exact same taste 10 years later, 20 years, 100 years later. But Nigeria, I don't know about people, but I don't think you go about it. It's okay, this rice, you must measure 2 cups of rice together with 1 teaspoon of salt. I mean, you don't look at it, don't get it, just sprinkle it. That's why today the rice will be like this. The rice is, I'm like, I beg you, leave it. That's a little digression, but I'm still talking about how reproducible is your result. How reproducible is your result? It's like having a key to a house, right? When you have a key, you don't have to think about, you can open that door again and again and just have it. Okay, you always have access to that place. As against breaking in. You can still enter the house, so if you break in, you break the windows, go through the roof. You still got in, but with a lot of stress, with a lot of prayers that nobody saw you while you tried that. It's not the legitimate way to go about it. And I strongly believe that in life, there are ways to go about things. And I don't believe that God wants us to live a trial and error kind of life, where you, today you get it, tomorrow you don't get it, today you are successful, tomorrow you are not, today you are doing well in business, tomorrow you are not doing well in business. I think that there is a path, there's a way that there are principles that if you can follow through with them, you can still get, keep getting the same result, as consistent as the sun rising and falling. That's how consistent you're going to be. I strongly believe that. So the first thing about what's the answer is for you to become a person that can have reproducible results, reproducible success. Number one, don't try and fake your success. I like to emphasize things like this because we're in a make-believe world right now. Everything is perception. Reality holds little or no value. But the truth about this is that you must be authentic and true to yourself to say that I have not gotten this thing. I don't really... This is not mine. Let's take an example of people that inherit money, and then you don't really have ways on ground that you've like established to keep generating that money. You just got money, you just inherited it. It wasn't yours. So if you just go about, say, okay, people just look at you on the outside and say, ah, this person is so successful. Well, not really. The person just happened to inherit the money. If the person doesn't have principles on ground to keep that money, you know, to keep generating more and more, in a month, all that money is gone. You can't reproduce it. look at the example of people that maybe have influential parents and then they are in one place of they don't make connections, they don't know how to make vital network, create vital networks, or English, to create vital networks or right relationships, you know, to get to the top of their ladder. And then they just have influential parents that just call somebody, okay, this is my son, put him here, put him here. When the parents are gone, they don't have those skills to maintain that affluence that they have gotten based on their influential parents. Things like that. But people that cheat during exams and then they graduate, people look at you and say, okay, now you want to get a job. Okay, you claim you have the certificate, you claim that you have this know-how. Okay, oh yeah, come and do it now. It's not another thing, because you really don't have the answer. So if you don't have the answer, what is what you do? Number one, you need to understand, you need to realize that you don't know. One of the hardest things for people to acknowledge is the fact that you are lacking in an area. Most times we're prideful to ourselves. We don't want to admit that we don't really have the answers. But that's the first step to change, when you realize that, okay, this is not what it should be. I don't have this. I am lacking in this area. Acknowledge that there's a knowledge gap. If it's in business, okay, you don't know how to, you're not really good at marketing and you are in that field, you need to acknowledge that, okay, this person knows how to do better than me. Or acknowledge that, okay, there are some things I don't still know. That's why I sell my products to people. I market my products to people. They are not interested in selling or in buying it. You need to acknowledge that you don't know some stuff. Acknowledge that you don't know the answer. Like in class now, when a teacher wants to come at you, you don't just come out for, you don't know it. So you need to just calm down and open your heart and open your mind to that knowledge that is about to come. So understand, acknowledge that there's a knowledge gap. There is something you don't know. Don't go about faking the answer or trying anyhow. Let me just try and get it by one way or the other. No, just relax. You don't know the answer. That's the fact. That's one. Number two, you need to find somebody that knows. Just like a teacher comes to class now, he understands, you know, this is how it's done. Some people, it's okay, ask questions in class. As I used to say that in second, okay, ask away if you're not clear, ask the teacher a question. The whole basis of that is this person knows and you don't know. So now, to bridge that knowledge gap, find somebody that knows and learn from that person. And that's so true with life. There is always somebody that knows something that you don't. In fact, everybody, there is something that everyone listening to this podcast, at least one thing that you know that I don't, and one thing that I know that you do not know. And so, I think it's my pastor, I think, that said this one time, that people are ahead of you because they know things that you don't know. It's not really because they are better than you per se. It's just that it's just a knowledge advantage, and the way they choose to apply that knowledge that places them where they actually are. So the truth is that there are people that know what you don't know. There are people that know these answers, that have these answers, that can teach you these things. That's why we're always encouraged to buy books and learn from people that have had experiences and things. Don't just look at it and say, you see somebody that has, you know, it's in the Forbes 100 most influential people and you don't want to read about the person. Why? Like, how successful are you that you are feeling so prideful? You don't want to know about it. It's at your own detriment, because the person has established that this is no incidental success. Yep. It's very obvious. So you need to, when you find that person, that brings me to the third thing. When you find that person that knows, that has the answers, please, you need two skills. Number one, you need to be humble enough to learn from them. Because without humility, I don't believe that there can be knowledge transfer. Yeah. So you need to be humble enough to learn, whether the person is younger than you, whether the person is less educated than you. All those things don't matter. If you let them be barriers to your advancement, you are the one that will suffer it too. That's really true. So you need to be humble enough to learn from those people that have the answers. Learn, let them teach you the real principles, so you don't keep doing guesswork. out of pride. Number two, you need to be patient enough. All of us don't learn at the same pace. All of us can't grab at the same time. So you must be patient with yourself and patient with those people as well. Because what you might be, and I'm talking in every general sense, you can apply this anyhow, anyway, but depending on what you want to learn, the principles that you want to get, the formulas you want to know, they are different. You can't just, it's not like a specified timeline for everyone. It's very different. And so you must be humble enough and you must be patient enough to learn from those that have the answers. So that's just generally it. When you don't know the answer, don't try and guess it. Don't try and play. Don't leave your success to chance. Be very intentional about it, because there are definitive keys. There are very definite formulas that will get you reproducible. Yes, that's what. Reproducible success every single time. If you choose to learn, if you choose to be open to it, and if you choose to learn those principles and apply them. One thing, you must apply them. Don't just learn them, you must also apply them. Just to, like, a summary, I don't believe these formulas. I want to give us like four general formulas now, or keys that I believe are very, very instrumental to success in any field at all. Funny enough, these formulas or these keys, they beat skill. They outweigh talent. You can see somebody that is talented and they might not have some of these things that I'll mention, and people that have these things, even though they are not talented, they would overshadow those other people. So there's a limit to which talent, raw talent, can take you, or skill can take you when you don't have some particular things. Number one, I strongly believe that discipline is a very great key in the formula of success. It's a very great ingredient to success. You always have to give up something to get something. You can't hold on to everything and still make it to what you want, to where you want to be. Discipline has to do with letting go of some stuff and holding on to what is really important. You must be, if you want to be successful, discipline is a must. There's no how. You can't be without self-control and be a success. I really don't think that can work. You just have to disciplined. The second thing I think is very important is consistency. Doing the same thing, you know, being at it all the time. It's not always about changing your strategy all the time. Sometimes it just takes consistency for you to get to that place where you need to be. So what you keep working on works out. If you just like I'm cutting a tree now, you just keep hitting it. It's not that it's that last one that made it fall down. It's that consistent effort. You are weakening the tree before you know it's down. So first thing I think is very important is discipline, then consistency, then I strongly believe in personal motivation. You must have an I can do it spirit. It's very, very important, because many times people will not be there to encourage you or tell you you're doing a good job. So you have to keep telling yourself that, pushing yourself from inside. Then number four, you must be courageous. You must be bold. Bold for no reason at all. Even if you have no reason to be bold, just be bold. There are more odds that you succeed when you are bold than when you are timid. Just, nobody is actually without fears. Everybody's shaking inside. It's just that we just try to face it. That's just it. And life must be faced with a bold countenance. You must face your dreams, face your obstacles with boldness and courage. And I believe that these are not all. I'm just mentioning some four keys that have really helped me, and I think are essential to being successful. There are many more. I just said I should mention some of this, but basically whatever principles that you are lacking, number one, you need to realize that there is a knowledge gap. Number two, you need to find somebody that knows. Number three, you need to be humble and patient enough to learn from those people. And when you learn from them, make sure you apply it. And bam, you have the answer. And you don't have to keep guessing all the time. And you don't have to be, you know, running away from people when they ask you to explain your answer to them, because you have it at your fingertips. All right, so what's the answer? Episode number 8 is done. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow Life Illustrated on our social media platforms at life_illustrated on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And do well to like this podcast, listen to this podcast, download this podcast, share it with your friends. Thank you very much. I will see you guys same time next week, Monday. Have a great week ahead, guys. Bye.